This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live from Fairhope Brewing Company today as the show is on the road. Love for y'all to come on by and visit with us today. And we'll talk more to Brian and the crew out here, what they have coming up this fall and even specifically this weekend with their brunch event. As I mentioned just a second ago, going in the news break, joined by Walt Maddox, running for governor of the state of Alabama. Thanks for making some time for us today, Walt.
Hey, Sean, I appreciate you having me.
Hey, you know, as you're on the campaign trail, mayor of Tuscaloosa, and keeping that bus running, obviously, you know, you knew what you were getting into here, maybe, as a busy schedule has to be, like, all-consuming.
It is. It's the most extraordinary experience of my life, humbling experience of my life, and certainly I do look forward to November 7th because I can't wait to sleep a few hours.
I imagine that is true as you've been canvassing the state as we've been watching this. I want to run through a couple things with you. I thought about this one, and maybe you can help me. As mayor of Tuscaloosa, dealing with ALDOT, because, you know, down here we've got this bridge project. You know, we're kind of interested. I just came over the through the tunnels and over to the Eastern Shore today from Mobile County, and already not even on a kind of a nondescript Thursday, there was a lot of traffic. So we're looking forward to trying to get this bridge built down here, but you have some experience dealing with ALDOT as a mayor. What do you have any suggestions? What do you think the situation is if you're elected governor for a bridge down here?
Well, I think it's going to be much more likely than my opponent because a couple of reasons. Number one, and you can actually go to our Twitter feed and see this at Walt Maddox, but one of the things we're going to immediately end is this unconstitutional practice of taking road and bridge money that's currently in the budget and being transferred over to judicial system. So that's going to free up $35 million a year. In addition, if the legislature does that, and I anticipate they would, then we will begin working on an infrastructure plan very similar to the Alliance for Alabama Infrastructure. But my focus is going to be on major projects like the I-10 bridge in Mobile, which is absolutely essential to that region's continued growth and prosperity.
Yeah, you were mentioning the move of the money out of the judicial. But, I mean, the judicial branch, I read specific stories and hear from people all the time that they don't have the money they need to operate.
Well, that's part of the problem with state budgeting. It's smoke and mirrors. In fact, the judicial branch generates enough fees to more than operate the system. But those
but they don't
fees
keep
are
those
then
fees,
taken
right?
to pay. It's robbed from Peter to pay Paul within the general fund. The state's budget woes are constructed in decades. And by the way, Democrats are as guilty as Republicans in doing this, of smoke and mirrors while not addressing the real truth. And the truth is that we haven't funded the general fund at all in such a way that can keep up with the demands of transportation, mental health, corrections, public safety in terms of state troopers.
What about that? You know, people say, well, the money's there, Mayor Maddox, but it's going to the wrong places because of the earmarking. 93% of the general fund is earmarked.
I agree with you on the education trust fund side about the earmarking. I know as a Democrat, people are surprised to hear that. But when you don't have that flexibility, you're forced then to basically eliminate innovation in fiscal austerity. And as a mayor of Tuscaloosa, I'm proud to say that we have one of the lowest debts per capita in the state, fourth lowest. Our city sales tax is 2 cents, and if you compare that, Mobile has 5 cents. So we've been able to do more with less, and that's through a great recession and a tornado that destroyed 12.5% of our city. You know, the flexibility that we have has enabled us to be able to shift resources to the greatest needs.
You know, always the discussion is revenue with any, I know it's, I focus on it here because this is my state, but I know those issues come up elsewhere, but it's always an issue every year, where we're going to get the money, and whether it's through the BP money or federal money, there's been, you know, we found the magic $20 bill in the jacket pocket for a couple sessions in a row, but it looks like that is coming to an end, and maybe that's why the increased discussion for alternate measures here for getting revenue, like the lottery. What's your take on that? I mean, I've heard Speaker McCutcheon say this is coming up in session, no doubt.
Well, I mean, since we announced in October of 2017, we've proposed a lottery that, based off a Republican study done in 2015, would generate $300 million. It would go to a scholarship program very similar to what you see in Tennessee and also to universal pre-K. It's time that I don't think the governor can sit back on this issue. The governor has to be out front and lead the legislature in that direction. Here's the other thing that we want to do as well. Go ahead and tax sports gaming. We now have the ability to do that with the recent Supreme Court decision. Reach a compact with the Forge Creek Indian. That'll generate, those two alone will probably generate above $100 million. We need to place that into our general fund and begin looking at mental health services. You know, down there with what's happened with Cersei, mm-hmm. and what's happening with your mental health consumers ending up into jails. We want to begin addressing that. We also have less than 300 state troopers on our highways. The city of Tuscaloosa, we're just 100,000, but we have more police officers than we do state troopers. That's unthinkable, and that's happened under the last 8 years. So we're really going to want to use those existing revenues. By the way, there's $500 million, a half a billion, that's available through lottery and gaming without raising taxes. That doesn't mean we don't search for efficiencies. We should always be doing that. But at the same time, we can access these revenues, improve our state greatly, and do it without raising taxes. And I do want to say this, Sean, because I think it's important. I saw what happened to Mobile with the BP money, and that was shameful because the people of Mobile and Baldwin counties earned that money through their suffering. We've been through suffering in Tuscaloosa, and as governor, we're never going to take money away from communities who've earned that. And to me, it's unthinkable. And I've been through it myself, and I hate that your region was done that way, but it was done because of poor mismanagement of state budget and governing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what caused the need for the money, but it just, you know, it's also the fact that we are, outnumbered, it seems like, a lot during session for the South Alabama contingent versus other parts of the state. But that's maybe a debate for another day. You mentioned something, this idea of having sports gaming and betting going on in the state, and you mentioned a compact with the Porch Creek. So is that the physical infrastructure of where that would take place? I mean, would it be that it would go to their facilities, or would there be other, because we don't have, you know, Mississippi, they greenlighted, but they already had the Class 3 gaming facilities. Put it there.
Yeah, this is where the negotiations will have to be centered around. Certainly I can't speak for the Porch Creek, but I would imagine they would want some sort of Class 3 expansion. But I don't think we can give exclusivity, and I think we do have to provide other opportunities where we have existing gaming, like in Greene County, Lowndes County, Houston County, downtown Birmingham, I believe, has a track operation. So, but here's the good news for us, is that this is our moment of opportunity, and you've got the state needs the money. I think the Porch Creek certainly see competitors on their horizon, and the existing gaming that you have in Macon County and Greene County and others, they know they've got to upgrade. So this is the moment where leadership can help determine a pathway to access $100 to $150 million without raising taxes.
Okay, so let's say this works. Let's say that lottery happens, and that money goes towards education. And then you take the sports gaming. I know I've heard you talk about Medicaid expansion, paying for that with the sports gaming money. Then let's go to another leg of the stool here, and that is the prison situation. I've been, maybe I'm foolish, but I took it at face value a couple years ago when they said we were facing possible federal receivership of our prisons here in Alabama. How are we going to fund that? How do we change that?
Well, on the Medicaid, let me just say that we have come back and looked at a model that, first of all, Louisiana has paid for their Medicaid expansion through the savings they generated, about $199 million in fiscal 17. What we want to do is treat Medicaid expansion like we do any other job project. We take the 30,000 new jobs that are going to be created, that the payroll taxes and income taxes be used to offset any federal match. So that's going to be our proposal to the legislature. With corrections, you're exactly right. It's actually under Judge Myron Thompson has now put corrections under a court order. And there are going to be tens of millions of dollars of bills due annually. And what we want to do is use those sport gaming dollars as a way to help offset that. Now, here's the thing. This is why I believe debates are important. The governor's not talking about any of these things. But if she's reelected or elected, then these things are going to be coming up, and Alabamians are going to be surprised by it because they've been left in the dark. And so I really appreciate this opportunity that I get to talk to your listeners, because these issues are coming, and they're going to have to be dealt with, whoever's governor after November 6th.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a feeling, of course, I've had people talk to me before session and tell me what's going to happen, then it doesn't happen. But generally, those people that have been accurate with me said, hey, obviously the lotto thing, that's out the wide open because of commentary already. But the Medicaid expansion, even though it's not being discussed by many, you have discussed it, obviously, on the campaign trail. But that's going to be a thing that there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a Republican push as much as a Democrat push on that.
I think you're probably right. I don't think the governor will, but you've got just as many hospitals in Republican districts that could close as you do in Democrat districts. In fact, the Alabama Hospital Association, a nonpartisan group, estimates 12 hospitals in Alabama will close about Medicaid expansion.
I've just joining us, talking to Mayor Walt Maddox, running for governor of the state of Alabama. And I want to ask this. You mentioned Governor Ivey a couple of times, and I know this last week we've been talking about your questions here over, and I know you say, and I'm going to let you, you know, let me say this, and I'll let you have your peace with it. You said this is about your questions of whether there was cover-up in the situation, but in getting to your point about cover-up, along that trail was a discussion of the age of the governor and the health of the governor. I mean, what was your you knew that had to be part of the message, right? I mean, that is that what's at question here? Is it more about the age and health, or is it more about a cover-up?
It's more about cover-up. The governor's age and the governor's health are irrelevant to me, and the governor says she's healthy. I take her at her word for it. That's why you haven't seen us. You know, I saw in the Republican primary where they wanted health records and letters from doctors. I don't care about any of that stuff. It's not to me, that's not fair to the governor. It's unfounded. But what is fair to ask is, why was a state trooper demoted? And it's shown in payroll records that have been released. Why wasn't the truth disclosed? That you've had two people now, Spencer Collier and his chief of staff, both confirmed the version of events that has been circulated in the media for 2 years now. Remember, it was the misuse of law enforcement that created the whole house of cards for Robert Bentley. We deserve answers to those questions. I don't care about her. I mean, I do care about her health personally. I don't want anyone to be sick, but that's not the issue. What's the issue is the cover-up. And if you notice, the governor hasn't answered those questions or released the documents related to it.
Oh, but I think she said that
that's the real question that people should be asking.
It seems to me it's frustrating just as a citizen that we can't get to the yes or no, because I hear what you're saying and many other people have said what you're saying. But at the same time, governor says, in fact, that state trooper was promoted, not demoted. I mean, isn't that as simple as, I mean, can we just put that to bed? I mean, can there be a document that shows that can be printed and shown?
The only document that's been printed was actually from a story done by Josh Moon, and it's the actual payroll records that show his demotion and his reassignment. That's the only thing. Now, he was later promoted in the year 6 months later after leaving the detail, but that promotion was done by ALEA Director Collier, according to the payroll records that have been released.
But, I mean, you would think if the governor was wanting to punish them, they could change that at the next stop. You know what I'm saying? If you promoted them again, you could do that at that point.
Well,
I mean,
I'm
confused.
Robert Bentley was still the governor then.
Well, sure. But, I mean, you're tying this, because you're tying this to something that happened, 3 years ago, possibly, right? This question about what happened in Colorado.
Well, to me, lying at any point, at any time, is not acceptable. There is no statute of limitations on that.
Well, we have to see if, you know, that it's shown to be and proven to be a lie. I want to ask you this before we wrap.
Well, let me just say one more point on this. Again, the health is irrelevant. But if I'm wrong, or this is actually not me, if Spencer Collier is wrong and his chief of staff is wrong, the governor could release all the documents this afternoon and prove them both wrong.
There you go. It'd be interesting to see on this. I want to ask you this before we run out of time, too, and this is not specifically an Alabama story, but I think it may obviously reflect on Election Day, just the same way we were talking about the Kavanaugh effect for the last couple of weeks, that it seems to have motivated both Democrats and Republicans. I think, just from what I'm seeing, turnout should be higher than expected. But now we have these, and I'm just going to call them pipe bombs. I'm just a hick from South Alabama. I know they're the other name for them or whatever, but they look like pipe bombs to me until somebody corrects me. Those devices. What do you think that does? Do you have any reflection on that after hearing these stories?
Well, I think, you know, what I think, and this is just me, is that everyone's guilty of this hyper-partisanship that exists. politicians, the media, we've all hyped things up and become so hyper-partisan that both sides are not listening to each other or honoring or respecting each other. And this, you can't blame just the president on this. It's everyone. And what we need to do is take a pause and think about our politics and our discourse. And I hope this is a moment that will allow us to do that on both sides of the aisle.
There we go. Walt Maddox, thank you for your time. Appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Walt Maddox running for governor on with us at Midday Mobile, and we're coming right back.